B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man. Well, nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is there any chance that this is your last game? Zero.
Zero.
Say it. I don't want to just say
there's
it.
Zero. Yeah. Okay. There's zero. I've said that for a long time. I feel like I'm asked that a lot, and I feel like I repeat the same answer, but no one wants to believe me.
How come no one wants to believe him, Maz? Is there a reason no one wants to believe him?
Wants to believe who?
Brady. You hear him right there?
I keep saying I want to keep playing, but no one wants to believe me.
Is there a reason we don't believe him?
Yeah, exactly. There's a reason, because he keeps talking out of both sides of his mouth. That's why.
I mean, I believe him, but geez.
Well, I will say this, that to me, this is like the most definitive he has been. 0% chance?
On the eve of the Super Bowl, 0% chance.
0%.
Okay, are you satisfied?
Yes, that tells me he's coming back.
Murray, are you satisfied?
100% satisfied.
Okay, I was satisfied before this, but so, I mean, you know, good for him for declaring it. I thought he was going to declare it. I thought he was going to be here. I never thought he was leaving. But that piece about no one wants to believe me, like, there's a reason there, man. I mean, he put that stuff out there at the end of the Tom versus Time stuff. You got to feel happy and appreciated, said his wife. And you got to ask yourself why you're doing this. And then during the Gronkowski stuff, he's got Schefter leaking that, you know, he's not sure that he's going to return. And so he's the one that put all that doubt in their mind.
No, it's all his doing. Again, this would have been, all of this would have gone away very, very early had he said at the end of last year exactly what he said, you know, in the last couple of days, which is, no, I'm playing. 0% chance that I'm not coming back.
It wasn't the finish that we wanted, but I'm going to be back, and the plan is to go to 45. But he did leave it open, so, you know, he kind of did bring it on himself.
Okay, so here we go. Belger and Maz from the Super Bowl. 10th straight year, Maz. 10 straight years here on Radio Row. We're presented by Cambridge Savings Bank for the entire week. This hour of the program is brought to you by your New England Buick dealers. So thanks to all our fine sponsors who have us covered throughout the week. We're going to do a lot of Patriots today. As we like to do, we go, halfway across the country and really have very few guests. So we're going to still just talk to ourselves and talk to you.
Good.
We're going to do a lot of Patriots stuff today and a lot of Celtics stuff today. I think there's a lot of meat on the bone with the Celtics after Saturday's loss to the Warriors and the Anthony Davis news today. But let's start with Patriots and Brady's future. He declares it. Does that make the story over, Maz? Or what's the story after? And Jimmy Stewart, you may release the hounds. We let the people in early and often. Your phone number is 617-779-0985. So Brady's saying that he wants to stay, and he's going to stay. 0% chance he retires. Is that the end of the story?
Nope. Okay. And the reason it's not is because it now becomes a question of you still have the same thing that you had a year ago at this time, which is you don't have any successor or heir apparent lined up. And so Brady has a tremendous amount of leverage. And how's he going to use it? And where's the power? And so that relates to his contract. That relates to people like Rob Gronkowski or players of the like. How does Brady want the roster built? When's he going to put his foot down and prevent a trade, et cetera, et cetera? So there's still all those elements.
To put his foot down and demand a trade?
No. I'm talking about in the instance of Rob Gronkowski.
I'm sorry.
There was a deal to send him to Detroit, and Gronk says, I'm not going, and I guarantee you Brady had a hand in that too. And so, you know, Brady's got leverage, and he's going to continue to have leverage so long as he wants to play until the Patriots have the next guy. And so, and I haven't even really touched on other than just passing on the contract. What's he going to play for? So if I'm Brady, I'm not playing for $15 million next year. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, but again, this comes down to, is he retiring? And he has said emphatically no. So I love that he got ahead of this before the madness of this week starts, starting tonight when they're on the podium and having to answer these questions again. So now he doesn't have to answer this one. It's been answered, and if anyone else asks it, you kind of look like a fool. All he has to say is, hey, I already addressed this. I'm not retiring, no matter the outcome of this game. All that other ancillary stuff, I'm with you. Like, you know, is the contract going to be renegotiated? Can they have him at that number? What's the team going to look like? Who's the successor? Yeah, fine. But in terms of him retiring, it ain't happening. And I'm glad that he did this. It's just further proof he's all business Brady, like he's been the last few weeks of this postseason.
And, well, you think that ties in, Maz, to the whole team approach this week? You think it's an all business kind of week?
I do. I think that if there was any question about them not being fully focused last year, heading into this game. And who knows, you know, the Palace coup, everything else, the, all the stuff bubbling under the surface. Brady's making it clear right now. Nope, there's nothing going on. I'm back. Here you go. Let's go play football. We're going to beat the Rams on Sunday. Like, or, you know, at least that's the message. I'm not saying he actually came out and said that. But you get the idea that, nope, we're making sure that we are focused on the game. We're not going to let all this other ancillary, you know, stuff filter in and affect us and take away our chance to win another championship, because we believe, rightly or wrongly, we believe that it did a year ago. I think right now, I think we can say that.
Okay, I'm sorry. I think this is a developing story that we're sort of learning that last year they may not have been in the best place and it may have affected them.
Or they believe it affected them.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's something they are addressing this year, that, you know, whether it was overconfidence or just not having a good week of preparation or ancillary stuff like you're talking about, you know, because now, I keep hearing Belichick going to the stupid basketball game, which I thought was a non-story, but how many people, like, in sort of the, I mean, I don't want to out people, but when certain people say it to me off the air, I'm like, really? You too? Where are you getting that from? I'm not telling you who said that, but okay, so like that's come up. And then all the internal stuff with the ESPN article, and then Van Noy saying we're not taking anything for granted this year. So it's like it's a developing story that, and then coming Sunday instead of Monday, like last year they sort of rolled in at the last possible moment that they were allowed to. This year they arrived a day early. Is that all part of a piece of we're not leaving this one on the table?
Yes. Yes. I think in some ways they had an epiphany, just like they had after they lost the game in Denver that year in the AFC Championship. That they got a little cocky that year. They thought, no, you know, we can get loose down the stretch. And you know what? It's more important to be healthy. Even if we do go on the road, we can win. And they took it for granted.
Okay. And so that's sort of a tangent. But Brady buttoning it down in his future sort of ties in with that.
I think so, yes.
Okay, so we're going to button this down before the week even starts. And, you know, that's it. No story.
I think Murray's right. Yeah, I think so.
Do you think Brady has leverage on the contract? See, you seem to think he does. Tom Brady's cap number next year. And so, I mean, this is, I'm consistent. I don't believe this stuff matters, really. Brady's cap number next year is $27 million, which is the fifth highest in football. Okay, here are the top five highest cap hits. This isn't real money. This is accounting, but these are the cap hits. Number one, Drew Brees at 33.5. Matt Stafford at 29.5. Kirk Cousins is third at 29. Andrew Luck is fourth at 27.5. Brady is fifth at 27. And that's the last year on his deal. $27 million on the cap. You think that gives Brady leverage?
I do. I don't think the Patriots want that number. And honestly, I don't think Brady wants to play for money for 1 year. He's not going to play 1 year at $15 million, which is what the guaranteed portion is, right?
So, I mean, again, this is just, I'm not going to go back into this, but yep. This is just, you know, 101. This is why the cap is crap. Because Brady's cap number is 27, okay? Makes him the fifth highest cap number in the league. His true compensation, the money he's set to earn, is $15 million, which ranks 21st in the league. Okay? I think that's the number the Patriots care about. They're only paying him $15 million, 21st in the league, which is a great bargain, which is why I think they are totally fine to let the $27 million cap hit go, because Lord knows they can figure it out, and if they can't, I'll do it on the back of a cocktail napkin in 5 minutes to have them figure out the cap money. They're in fact, about $20 million under to next year, including Brady's number, without cutting anyone or doing any restructures or anything. So they're already $20 million under next year. $21 million, really. According to SportTrack, they're $21 million under. That's before Rob Gronkowski retires. That's before they can do any number of things. They're fine in terms of room. They don't need to do anything with Brady this year.
Okay, have they ever had a guy that high?
Probably not.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe.
I don't know. Has Brady been a top five cap hit guy? Maybe. There's been years where he has been, I'm sure.
Yeah, I just don't think that there's – I think there's an impetus for them to redo it. That's all. To bring that number down depending on who they want to keep or who they don't. That's all. And the real money, I agree that that's the bigger part of it. I don't think Brady wants to play for $15 million guaranteed.
Okay, well, now we're talking about the other side of the fence. Does Brady have the balls to actually hold their feet to the fire and say no to Robert on a contract? We talked about this at the end of last week,
okay,
back in Boston.
Yeah, so you tell me no.
I don't think so.
I'm telling you that there is an ancillary. Cave. I think there's an ancillary benefit for the team, and that they can bring that cap number down. And I don't know, maybe they elect to franchise Trey Flowers, and that number is going to go up stratospherically. I have no idea. Like, I look at it and say it seems to me it would benefit both to redo the deal now. To either add on a couple of years, give Brady some sort of big signing bonus. You know, spread out the lower the cap hit to give them some flexibility because they do like the flexibility. And the amount that we're talking about is a big number. Like, you know, from the 20, let's say they can negotiate Brady's cap hit from 27 down to 20. That's a pretty significant gain.
Yeah.
Like, you know, now
I'll find you $7 million somewhere else.
Okay,
drop
so no look, problem. We could cut Dwayne Allen, and that'd be the end of that.
There's an easy five.
I got a lot of ideas for you.
I'm just telling you that in a perfect world, I don't think they want that number there. That's all.
I think they care about that real money number, and that's a great number. And that gives them leverage. That gives them leverage. And then we'll figure it out next year.
He's always given in. Every time, like, he should totally hold their feet to the fire, but he won't.
I would love to see it. I would love to see him stand up to them and really, you know, just for the drama of it, not that it's good for the team, but I just want
well, good talk show fodder.
No, it's good. I mean, not just that, but, after all those years.
So let me put it to you this way. Do you think Tom Brady's going to play in 2019 for $15 million?
Yeah.
I don't. And I think that that's going to get redone. And so I don't know if the new number will be 20. I have no idea what the new number is going to be. He'll get some sort of big bonus up front
like he always does,
and they'll take care of him.
He's still – I mean, might they give him something and might he agree to it? A bad deal? Yes. He's not going to get his ass paid. So let me put it to you like that. He's not going to sign a contract where we go, whoa, he crushed it. So, yes, I think he'll cave. So maybe he'll take some crappy restructure and make 17 next year instead of 15. Or these forgotten bonuses, the poor guy.
Oh, the dangling carrots he was never going to get.
They'll put in form of all those insulting bonuses, and he'll take it because he's always taken it. I mean, that's what I think is going to happen. So will he play for more than 15? I'll amend that. But it won't be a good deal. Whatever it is, it'll be a team-friendly deal. He will be operating.
Oh, it'll be a team-friendly deal, but he's not playing for $15 million. No way.
Let's see.
No way. If he does, he's stupid.
He's not stupid. He just...
$15 million, Mike?
He's not going to go to the mat on money. He did it this year. That's what he made this year.
Okay, but again, now he's going into the final year of a contract.
Well, last year he was coming off an MVP, and he could have drove a harder bargain this year, and he took those insulting little incentives.
Okay, but he had 2 years left on his deal, right? Now he's only... Has Brady ever entered the final year of a contract without some sort of new agreement?
No.
There's no way it happens now.
I don't think he's ever entered the final two. The final two. I think him doing that year was unprecedented. If my memory serves, I don't think he's ever made it to the second year out.
I thought two extensions ago he came into the final year and they redid him.
Is that right?
I think so, but I'll go back and check. I just have a hard time believing they're going to keep it where it is. So Brady's going to be a lame duck at the end of the year?
This could be. No, they have franchise rights.
But then the number goes up.
I'm telling you, as much as you want this to be a contract battle and I want it to be a contract battle, it ain't going to be a contract battle. It ain't.
He's not playing next year for $15 million.
He's just going to take whatever they offer him.
And I can still wish for the contract fight.
Whatever little insulting incentives they ask him to take, he will take. And that's it. He may kick and scream. He may float things out in the media. And, you know, we may hear of discontent and blah. He's been there before. It's happened before. At the end of the day, he'll come in and sign on the dotted line. And that's it. That's it.
He's not going to play for $15 million next year. That's my only prediction.
All right. I like it. So we have that. We have someone on the Rams calling out Brady for being old. This idiot. This doesn't bode well for the Rams.
This guy.
What a moron.
This guy just digs himself deeper and deeper.
How pronounce his first name?
Nickel.
Nickel Roby Coleman. He's the guy that had pass interference.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. No, he's had a great week.
Says he expects the Patriots quarterback to be, quote, all over the place in the game. We have to stay connected, he told the website, meaning, I guess, keep our coverage. And he will slowly start to reveal himself. Says age has definitely taken a toll. For him to still be doing it, that's a great compliment for him, but I think he's definitely not the same quarterback he was, told us to Bleacher Report. Movement, speed, velocity, arm strength, he can still sling it, but he's not slinging it as much. And then I want to know what he meant by this line. Whatever he was doing, because of his age and all that, he's not doing as much of that anymore. Do I need to put a coffin there somewhere?
Yeah, I think so. That's
he's still doing the same things. He's just not doing as much of it. And sometimes it's not the sharpest, but it still gets done. Okay, so...
Yeah, he means whatever he's doing to train or whatever he's doing to train.
Not that I think that this is going to matter in terms of igniting the Patriots or whatever. That's just silly. I mean, they're plenty ignited to begin with. They're good at self-igniting. They don't need this clown to ignite them. But it... indication that they're not dialed in, they're not locked down, that McVay hasn't totally locked him down and shut him up. So that's that. Okay, your phones. I don't know how much time we'll have for all the Patriots phones, so you want to do it now? Here's your chance. We'll get to you right after these words. Felger and Maz from the Super Bowl.
This is Felger and Maz
on 98.5
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Max.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
All right, let's talk some football. Felger and Maz again from the Super Bowl and Radio Row, where we discourage guests. We just talk to amongst ourselves and to the people, as usual. Tom and Newton, lead us off on the Patriots. What do you got?
Yeah, hey, guys. So, you know, normally you'd think, you know, Super Bowl week, the Patriots are emptying the bucket as far as game plan and scheme is concerned. However, when you look at their history in the Super Bowl, you know, they lost last year 28-3 the year before. That's obviously not how they drew that one up. You know, you had a nail-biter against the Seahawks, and they lost the two before that. You know, there was the Tyquan Underwood game and that bad practice in 07. Like, I don't have a lot of confidence, and I don't know who should, that the Patriots are going to do what it takes to prepare for the Super Bowl, because they just, you know, they aren't prepared in a lot of these spots. They kind of let the other team dictate to them as opposed to the other way around. I don't know what happens there every year. Thanks.
Well, let me, you know, is it that the Pats aren't prepared? I mean, maybe some years. I think 07, they clearly got caught with their pants down. And maybe last year a little bit. You know, that's, again, this is sort of seeping out that they feel maybe that their mind wasn't in the right place last year. So maybe a little, but to me it's more about the other team. And I think a lot of times the other team has just had more talent. You know, outside of the coach quarterback thing. If you take out the coach quarterback and you go, you know, call it 2 through 53 on the roster, make the argument the Eagles were a better team, or that the Falcons were a better team, or that the Seahawks, you know, or they're at least even, you know, and probably those teams were more talented. I mean, probably. And so with 2 weeks to prepare, in this Gasper's point, that with 2 weeks to prepare, it benefits the opponent more than Belichick, because it bridges the gap.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, to me, it's not.
And so then it comes down to talent, and those teams, I mean, the Falcons were faster. And they just ran circles around you till you caught your breath, and they got winded, and then, you know, we know what happened. But I think that's what goes on in these games.
To me, it's not an issue of preparation. It's an issue of execution. So and this gets back to what we were discussing going into the Chargers game. Do you have more faith in their ability to game plan or their ability to execute the game plan? And I have more faith in their ability to game plan. Bill's going to have him ready. And if the game plan's bad, I think more often than not, he'll scrap it and they'll go to something else. So against Atlanta, they wanted to run the ball in the Super Bowl. They weren't able to. What happened? Now, they fell behind 28-3, but ultimately they were able to open it up and start whipping the ball all over the place. So the execution to me is what worries me still.
Ed in Cambridge on Brady's future. Hi, Ed.
Yeah, is there any chance that Tom Brady gets traded?
None. Zero.
Okay, that was my question. Thank you.
Okay, babe. I mean, if Bill Belichick owned the team, yeah.
Yeah, would have happened probably 2 years ago.
And I don't mean like out of spite, like he hates the guy, but, you know, Bill is...
Build for the future.
Yes. Always out a year early than a year too late. And he even once said, especially at that position, like he even said that on draft night when they drafted Garoppolo. So, yeah, but he doesn't have final say. Robert is final say. And there is no way. There is no way. Unless Brady really makes a stink and really puts it on himself that the Crafts will ever allow him to play in another uniform. Never, ever, ever.
I think the horse has left the barn on that one.
Let's get the, well, I think we got the foremost Brady hater in Boston is right here. Boston area anyway. Steven Stoneham, what do you got for us today, Steve?
Well, first of all, if he sucks and throws his customary two interceptions in this Super Bowl, it should be mandatory retirement. I'm for that. And I just want to say $15 million? He would pay them to stay. What's lost on you people is he knows that they're two games away from a Super Bowl each and every year by being with three bottom feeders. You know, and without him, the Patriots will still be two games away from the Super Bowl. They'll win these games. They'll win more without him. It would destroy his legacy, wipe out all the Brady nonsense, and show he's a complete phony. That's why he would pay to stay. And he wouldn't go anywhere else.
Okay, you do hurt your. You go over a little. You go a little over the top there, Steve. That hurts your argument. But the general premise that this is a good spot for him, and you know, could he make? Well, they're not going to let him go anyway. They're not going to let him go. Even if he, Maz, even if he didn't want to be here, which that's not the case, and even if he wanted to make more money elsewhere, he wanted to go back to the Bay Area or whatever it was, they're not going to let him go. They have him on the franchise tag.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I didn't tell you he's going anywhere. I'm just telling you he's not playing next year for $15 million. I don't know if that's because the team has already told him they're going to pay him more, whether he's going to say, you have to pay me more.
How about 15 plus the five in incentives that he took this year? What if it's
not
the same deal?
Not enough.
So you're saying he won't take the same deal this year?
Nope.
Okay. I want to see it.
Nope.
I hope he does.
Because again,
you're right.
there's got to be a measure of, there's got to be some sort of restructuring that goes on that gives him some sort of bonus money up front. If you want a guy like that to commit and stay, well, then fine. Then you got to give him some money up front that he can use. And then, now his base salary might be 15 next year.
No, I understand.
But I'm telling you, there will be some sort of new agreement in place that'll give him more cash. I have a high.
What's the number? Okay, so he's set to make 15. What do you think he's going to make next year, including the bonus?
20-ish or above.
No, so an extra 20?
No. It'll be, instead of 15 guaranteed next year, his salary's going to go up.
To 20 guaranteed? That's not that big of a deal. That's nothing.
Well, you're saying he's not going to get anything.
I'm telling you, if that's all they offer him, he'll take it.
He's not going to get, but they didn't offer to him this year.
Exactly.
They just offered him incentives this
exactly.
year.
Exactly.
Right, so you're telling me they won't give him $5 million more guaranteed going into next year?
They might. I mean, if that gives him an extra couple of years, then that's a super sweetheart team-friendly deal.
So I never said it wouldn't be team-friendly. I'm just telling you that the existing contract is going to be gone.
Here's the bottom line.
The existing contract is going to be gone.
He's still going to get porked. He's going to get porked.
Yeah, he's not going to get Aaron Rodgers money.
He's going to get porked.
I never said he was getting Aaron Rodgers money. I'm just telling you, he's not going to make half of what Aaron Rodgers is making. No. What do you want to bet? I'll bet you right now.
I mean, this is what I'm trying to get. I'm trying to get a number.
What do you want to bet?
What's the porking threshold, Murray? If he makes less than X, he's getting porked.
If he's under 20, he's getting really porked.
Yeah, if it's anything less than 20, that's it's almost insulting. I mean, this thing that they put in front of him this year was insulting. That's something you give to Tyrod Taylor, a quarterback that hasn't proven himself.
Will you give
week.
Me 22? 22 million.
No. No, the first number's got to be a 2. The first number's got to be a 2. He's got to end up in that range. I'll tell you what. Give me a little more time, and I'll come up with an exact bet for you. Okay, so there's a chance.
Because $5 million he might take, and that's an insult, but he might take it.
Okay,
and then I lose the bet? No, he's getting porked. He's getting insulted, and he's going to take it.
I'm not telling you that Brady is like going to go to war with the Patriots over the contract. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying. I'm just telling you he's not playing for $15 million next year. They may already have the deal in place where the Kraft say, after the season, we'll rip it up. We'll give you a $30 million bonus. Will spread it over 3 years, and it'll be 3 times 65 or whatever, and you can do whatever you want with that. But he's going to get the cash up front, just like he did the last time.
He's going to get hosed, like he usually does. Mary in Manchester. What do you got, Mary, quickly?
Hi, guys. You're in my hometown, much to your dismay. But the three players that concern me on the other side are Ndamukong Suh, Aqib Talib, and Brandon Cooks. And I was just wondering what you thought in terms of the threat level for each one of those for the Super Bowl.
Both, Mary. Thank you for the call. I'll answer you off the air. Sue worries me because if he screws his head on straight, and you're double teaming Donald, then he's
disruptive.
He's available to disrupt. You can't double team both those guys, I don't think. So Sue's dangerous. I think they'll take care of Donald. I do. They're not going to let him ruin the game. But in doing that, does that open up for Sue? So that bothers me. Talib, just because I think he's a wild card, and if he's in the right place, he's a good sort of nutty or a bad sort of nutty. But a good sort of nutty would bother me. And Cooks, Murray's got a good theory on Cooks. What bothers you most about Cooks?
His ability to draw pass interference. And I feel like you saw like a correction on the fly in the Super Bowl last year to the catch rule, as evidenced by the Corey Clement touchdown. Whereas a few weeks prior, that would have been a no catch, but the league was so hypersensitive about the catch, no catch thing after the Jesse James thing between the Patriots and the Steelers that they had their antenna up, and they changed that rule on the fly, which I hated it as a Patriots fan, but I also liked it because to me that looked like a catch. If it looks like a catch, it's a catch, it's a catch. So what's been the story of the league the last couple of weeks since the championship games? It's the no call on the pass interference. My fear is they're going to be hypersensitive about it. You're going to see a lot of flags on Brandon Cooks because nobody draws a flag like that guy.
Okay.
So the PI scares me.
It's a good take. I just worry, Murray, that you're sort of inviting the Patriots fans now, you know, who cried about the officiating last week before the game even started.
Deflategate, well, co-conspirator, the whole Blakeman's out to get us.
Like a,
and then you get pretty much every close call in the book. Then you get pretty much every close call in the game.
I get that you don't want to hear the crying, but it could also potentially benefit them because look how much Rob Gronkowski gets mugged. And he was by Eric Berry in the AFC Championship game. So if they are going to be hypersensitive about it, why it may screw them with Brandon Cooks, who had, I think, 144 yards in penalties this year, was good for fourth in the league. You know, if they're going to do that, then Gronk is probably going to get a couple of calls, too.
So take Cooks out of it. The idea that on the fly they would adjust because of what happened in the AFC Championship game?
Totally true.
Legit.
Absolutely
So that
true.
Scares
I mean,
me,
last
too.
Year's proof.
Brandon Cooks does not scare me at all. Not at all. One good crap side the head, and that's going to be it.
Football.
He'll be done for the night.
Football calls all day long. I do have to get to the Celtics on Saturday night and the Anthony Davis stuff. We'll do that right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Marcus Morris will trigger the side of the bounce. Lobs it. Marcus Smart catches, kick out. Kyrie gets a pretty good look. Three is in the air. Bounces out. Rebound belongs to Iguodala, and the ball game is over. And the Warriors have survived like the champions they are. It was everything we hoped it would be. Missed free throws by Draymond Green, but he got the rebound, making the little plays. Curry hit the free throws to seal it. And Golden State has won their ninth consecutive road game. And the Boston Celtics have lost at home for the first time in 36 days. The final score, Golden State 115, Boston 111. To be continued.
To be continued. Okay, let's do Celtics on Saturday night and the Anthony Davis story. I think Saturday's worth a couple minutes just on its own. After watching that game, do you think it's to be continued? Because I don't know if Grandy's talking about the NBA Finals.
To be continued.
They still got the road game there in Oakland.
Okay, I think Grandy means more. I think he does.
He definitely does. He's talking about the finals.
Does that tell you that they're a finals team?
No.
No.
No. No, look, I'm not being a contrarian
dick. No.
Honestly, I watched that game, and I felt like every time the Celtics looked like they were starting to control the game, Golden State would get a bucket. And you know what? I say this in all 100% seriousness. There's nobody on the level of the Warriors. Nobody. They toy with teams, including the Celtics Saturday night.
Mass, when they got going, the Warriors did in the second quarter. That was like a force of nature. When Curry started hitting those threes and then they started moving the ball off of it, it was just
unstoppable.
It was breathtaking.
No, unstoppable.
And I even said to Jasmine, I was like, how mad can you get about this? Like, you're watching generational stuff here. This is ridiculous.
When they're going, it is. So you were there, but on TV, you can even. The crowd audibly gasps.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
You know, like, when they make a play, it's like, oh. So, yes, I agree with that. I think Golden State, when they're going, shows that.
They toy with people.
It's their league.
Durant would come down, just shoot over someone, swish. Thompson, swish. That's it. It's over.
Okay.
You're done.
But I still feel like the Celtics went toe-to-toe with them.
They're a good matchup
and
for
are a good matchup for them.
They have been since the Isaiah the Celtics.
They have been. They've split with that Warriors team, I think, for three straight years.
Yes.
Okay? And a couple of them, they went on the road. So they've split with that Warriors team three straight years, I believe. And so there is just something about that matchup. I think that would still be a hell of a series. Hell of a series that you would lose because Golden State's special. But I think you'd give them a series. Do you worry about them getting there?
Yes. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I do. Again, how about the mistakes at the end of that game?
The way they played on Saturday doesn't tell you that they're clearly the best team in the East. Jeff Van Gundy thinks so. Jeff Van Gundy said that to Washburn in the Globe, that he still thinks they're the favorite in the East no matter what their seating is.
Nope. Go ahead, Barry.
It's them or Toronto. I mean, Milwaukee's dipped a little bit. There's still some flaws there. It's them or Toronto. Yeah, but can they get to the finals, considering where their seating is? And I don't know if they're going to change all that much.
Well, huge variable is Gordon Hayward.
So I think that's the story coming out of the game. I think if you had a healthy, real Gordon Hayward, the player that I was promised, I think you're really close with Golden State.
because I think there's an opening there with those second units. It's really unfair. Golden State's second unit is still – they throw Durant out there. Or Klay Thompson and Iguodala. Like, that's still – they got some nastiness there. But if your second unit is Hayward and the being the player we think he is, and some form of Brown or Tatum being the players we think they are, I mean, I think you're right there.
Yeah.
I think Gordon Hayward being a shadow of himself is the gap, is the gap.
Okay, I still think they're behind even if Hayward is Hayward. But that said, that thing Saturday night
was embarrassing.
Was wretched. He looked like a some guy you pick up in the parking lot to play at the gym.
Scared.
He was horrid in that game.
0-for-5 from the floor, 2 points.
Falling all over the place.
Got a couple rebounds. The one that scares me is the attempts.
Yeah.
Five? Five?
Yeah, you know what? To me, what scared me is he couldn't create any separator space at all. None. Every time he got the ball, he couldn't get by anybody. He was smothered. And so I don't know if that's a lack of confidence. I don't know if that's athletic or what. Now, look, I've asked some people. The Celtics obviously keep track of their players, and they test them for strength and quickness and all that stuff. Hayward allegedly is where he was before the injury, at least in the testing.
Right.
Now, there's some stuff that you can't test. In the games, he's not. There's no gray area there. He's not. And so he was awful.
Bleacher Report came out with a thing yesterday. It said an unnamed Golden State Warriors player, who I'm sure was, probably
Draymond Green,
said that Gordon Hayward on Saturday night looked like a liability on both ends of the floor.
Oh, my God.
He did.
Scary. But I'm just telling you, Brown's taken a step back, and Hayward has taken like 2 or 3 steps back. If those guys hadn't taken steps back, I think you match up wonderfully with that Warriors team and have a hell of a series.
That's what makes it so frustrating, because I agree. They do. They should, on paper, be better.
I don't. I just think Golden State's on another planet. Again, look, I'm not telling you the Celtics didn't play well, but to me, the speed of the game at times, and I mean the mental processing, right? Like the ability to make decisions and be in the right place on the fly at that speed when it kicks in. Irving can do it. Hell, Horford can do it.
Horford had a good night.
Horford mentally can keep up. There's no question there. Horford knows what's going on the floor. The rest of them, I have my doubts. And Golden State goes to another level. And Durant's unstoppable. I'm sorry. He is unstoppable on the offensive end.
Those are your Celtics thoughts. Meanwhile, today, first thing this morning, Adrian Wojnarowski, the actual quote from Anthony Davis's agent. This isn't according to sources. This isn't a report. This is Anthony Davis's agent, LeBron's guy, going on record, quote unquote, Anthony Davis has requested a trade from the Pelicans. Just give me your headline thought. We'll take a break and come back and flush it out. But just give me your headline thought to that story.
Bad news for the Celtics. Bad, bad, bad.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to get done by a team that's not the Celtics, and it's likely going to be the Lakers.
I think it's over. I think the whole thing is over, and he signed, sealed, and delivered to the Lakers. It's over. It hasn't just begun. It just ended. And I'll explain why with your thoughts, I promise, right after these words.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Teams will line up immediately, beginning with the Lakers, the Celtics, the Knicks will be aggressive. There's not a team in the league that's not going to place a call to the Pelicans to try to get an Anthony Davis. This is a player who will change the landscape in the league when he is ultimately moved or leaves in free agency in 2020. Boston has an arsenal of assets unlike any team in the league, and that's first round picks, that's young players. And Boston has a confidence that if they traded for Anthony Davis, that they could convince him to stay in free agency and re-sign. But right now, Paul has not referenced a particular team. He's left it open that he wants him to be traded, that Anthony Davis wants to be traded, essentially to a contender. But the Lakers will be very much in this. They're going to be aggressive.
As Woj today, who got the agent officially on record, has requested a trade from the Pelicans. I think this has already happened, meaning Anthony Davis didn't call the Pelicans this morning and say, I want out. It's gotten public now. And I think that's the first domino to fall for him going to the Lakers. If Anthony Davis was willing to come here, this wouldn't happen today, right? Because, and I don't know if you know this, folks, but the Celtics, because of a weird NBA cap rule, cannot trade for Davis as long as Kyrie Irving's on his current contract. They have to wait for Kyrie Irving's contract to expire June 30th, or they have to trade Kyrie to bring in Anthony Davis. Okay, they can't have both those current deals on the books at the same time. So the Celtics, if they want Kyrie and Anthony Davis together, have to wait till this offseason. If Anthony Davis wanted to come here, he wouldn't demand a trade 10 days before the NBA trade deadline.
Correct.
He'd bide his time and wait for the Celtics to outbid everybody because the Celtics do have the most ammunition. They have the most ammunition.
Yeah, I agree. That's why this is bad news for the Celtics, that they're leaking this out before the trade deadline on the odd chance that they can pressure the Pelicans into moving them to L.A. now.
Do you know what my hunch is that the real reason they released it and they made it public is that they want to avoid the appearance of tampering. So they want to go through a dog and pony show. I request a trade. The Pelicans field offers. Everyone calls them up. They go through a fair process. And at the end of the day, they trade him to the Lakers. Because if...
So you think it'll be done in the next 2 weeks?
I think it's already done.
See, I don't.
I bet it's done.
I think this is Kawhi Leonard all over again. And to me, that's effectively what it is. Kawhi Leonard is going into the final year of his contract. Davis is going in the final year of his contract. Kawhi Leonard wants to go to L.A. Same deal. Anthony Davis wants to go to L.A. And so now you have this stare-down contest between the Pelicans and Anthony Davis.
Wait, but you know, here's my thing on tampering. I mean, Anthony Davis's agent is LeBron's guy. Okay, that was obvious from day one. If we just wake up this morning and Anthony Davis is traded to Paul, what's Paul's first name, the agent at and LeBron James and the Lakers, it's like everyone's saying inside job. Now they're going to pretend there's a process here. Player requests a trade, the team fields offers, and then at the end of the day, he's going to go to the Lakers. And I think this is for appearances to avoid tampering, to avoid, and not that, you know, players are allowed to tamper with each other, I guess. I don't know. But it still didn't look good.
I mean, LeBron had dinner with Anthony Davis the last time the Pelicans were in town about a month and a half ago.
So what's Anthony Davis's leverage? This is Anthony Davis's leverage to get to L.A. All he has to do is tell whatever team that trades for him, I'm not re-signing with you. He's got one more year after this.
Right.
And then he has a player option. So if the Knicks that Woj mentioned or the Celtics or someone else says we have a better offer, and some teams should be able to beat the Lakers package. Lakers have some nice assets, but teams should be able to beat it. Fine. Go ahead, Boston, beat it. Give us Brown and Tatum and that Sacramento pick and Rozier. Give us everything we want. The Celtics say okay. And then Davis says to the Celtics, but I ain't re-signing there. So I'm a one-year rental. Go ahead, blow up your whole roster for a one-year rental because I'm not re-signing. He can totally diminish his own trade value.
Yeah, again, it's like Kawhi all over again. It really is. It's Kawhi Leonard all over again. And so the Celtics' only hope here, if they want to get Davis, is that New Orleans doesn't make the deal now because they think they can get more from later, and they send him somewhere else. And that other place is Boston, and then they convince him to re-sign here.
Okay.
They're going to have to take a chance here because it feels like the player wants to go to L.A.
Because there is the option where the Celtics can say to the Pelicans, sit tight.
Right, wait till the end of the year.
On June 30th at the draft, we'll send you Brown, Tatum. We'll agree in principle. We'll shake hands, wink, pinky promise, whatever it is, because we can't officially agree, but we'll agree in principle. And so the Celtics could do that. But if I'm the Pelicans, to me, that's a promissory note that I'd be careful of. What if someone changes their mind? Or what if Jason Tatum, God forbid, knock on wood, snaps his ankle the way Gordon Hayward did last year between now and the NBA Finals? And he's going to miss, you know, half of next year, and who knows what he's going to be when he's done with the injury. But what if that happens?
Okay, but which offer is better?
What happens if, all I'm saying is, I'd want the player now knowing what condition he's in. What happens if the Celtics turn it around, go to the NBA Finals, take the Golden State Warriors to 7 games, as constituted? Is Danny Ainge still going to turn around and trade Brown, Tatum, and all these guys after they just knocked on the door? You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, that whole thing of, okay, we'll make this deal in June, doesn't work from either side. If I'm the Celtics...
Well, that's assuming, though, that the Lakers can get a better deal somewhere else right now, or a comparable deal somewhere else right now. If the Lakers can't get the same deal, they can
Lakers.
Get...
The Pelicans.
Pelicans, I'm sorry. The Pelicans. In other words, if they can't get this, you know, if they deem the Celtics offer to be the best offer, well, then you wait for it.
I'm careful with that. What if Jason Tatum snaps his ankle after you agree to it? That's what I just said.
Then you make the deal with the Lakers, and you get what the Lakers are going to give you. I mean, this is the point. If the Celtics have a better offer, you wait for it. You wait for it.
I'm careful about it.
Okay, but again, but if you know he wants to go to the Lakers, you've got that in your pocket. You can make that deal at any time. So now this is the game that Davis is playing. But the bad news for the Celtics, to me, is that it looks like the guy wants to go to L.A. That's what I feel. Now what? Now you're going to have to trade for him the way that Toronto did and hope
right.
that he wants to stay.
Well, there is a reporter from the Times-Picayune down in New Orleans that said that Davis reportedly told their head coach, Alvin Gentry, he does plan on playing out the season. That just posted up on Bleacher Report just a short time ago.
I mean, so if the Pelicans think the best deal is from someone other than the Lakers, they got to wait, or they're being stupid. They're going to trade him in conference and take less?
See, I don't know if that's stupid, Maz, because you take what's on the table now because you don't know how things are going to change. Maybe you won't get that same offer when the season's over. I don't know about that.
For that player, you will.
Okay. I don't know. I think there's some risk there. So there are your Celtics thoughts mixed in with your Patriots thoughts. As promised, right back to you. Matt in Braintree on this topic. Go ahead, Matt.
First, I gotta say, I want Maz in the ball gag when he loses to the Felger's Patriots bet. That's gonna be good. That's what you should do. The NBA is a joke. Like, why even have a team in New Orleans? Like, none of these guys want to play anywhere. And I think that if you had seen right now what's going on with LeBron tweeting Kyrie, they have orchestrated the move out of Cleveland.
Okay, so hold on one second. I'm just going to cut you there. Tell me about this story, Murray. This happened on Friday.
Yeah, late Friday on LeBron James's Instagram story. He's in a car singing along to a song by the rapper Fetty Wap, and it's called Rewind, and he's singing the lyrics, Rewind, 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 and he at-mentions Kyrie on it. So essentially, to me, I hear this, I look at the lyrics of this track, and it's saying, LeBron saying to Kyrie Irving, I'm sorry. Hey, we've had a thaw here. Let's rewind and get back together. Join me in L.A., won't you, this offseason? Rewind, rewind, rewind. Like, what's he at mentioning Kyrie on this thing for?
Okay, and we did have the thing with Kyrie a couple weeks ago, called Bron, bared his soul,
right.
Apologized for being a punk. And
how do I reach these kids?
Okay, so
I have my own theory on that.
Oh, there are big forces circling. Hold your theory. We'll get to it in a second. Let's do a quick update here. This hour of the program's been brought to you by your New England Buick dealers, Felger and Maz from the Super Bowl. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back.
This is Felger and Maz
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.